Hey, adventurers. We're doing ad reads a little bit differently for this episode because of the way we recorded the episode itself. So here they are, two of them right at the front of the podcast. This year for, what was it, David? Valentine's Day? You and I went to a local vegan boutique and managed to run into Ashley of Ashley's Vegan Sweets. And holy cats, did she blow my mind with her homemade truffles. What did you think of her stuff?
Sweet.
Ashley's Vegan Sweets, for when you're out on the trail and need a quick boost to your blood sugar, or just any time. We highly recommend her chocolate cherry truffles, although the chocolate cookie dough truffles are also just insane. You can find her on Facebook at Ashley's Vegan Sweets.
Ah! Kelly, do not move. There's a snake on your left forearm.
David, what are you talking about? That's just my new tattoo. And speaking of tattoos, did you know that Perennial Soap makes awesome tattoo balm? I've used it on all of my tattoos, and they've all healed great.
What the heck is a tattoo balm?
A tattoo balm, David, is something that you put over a healing tattoo to keep it from itching and peeling. And let me tell you, Perennial Soap's all-natural ingredients really make a difference.
What about me? I don't even have a tattoo.
Oh, that's okay. It's great for use on dry skin, like you definitely have all over your body, because while I may have a snake on my arm, you seem to shed like a snake.
Okay, so just to clarify, I'm going to get all my tattoo balm from Perennial Soaps. Where do I buy my soap from, then?
Also Perennial Soap.
Oh, okay.
Folks, if you have a tattoo, if you smell and need a shower, if you're looking for a great great perfume, PerennialSoap.com.
Welcome to episode 31 of Adventure Within Reason. I'm David.
And I'm Kelly.
And we're coming to you from the state park. We're not recording at home yet again. We are currently sitting on the banks of the Big Island here at Myrie Big Island, the eponymous Big Island, which is also where our campsite is. We heard rumors a bit ago, rumors of red-headed woodpeckers. We've yet to see one, but we're hoping they'll turn up somewhere here on the periphery of the Big Island.
We're also hoping that the wind isn't too bad on this episode because we are recording out on a little point. So
it's the price you pay for getting an episode recorded, in the field, as it were. So we don't have a lot of parks. We don't have a lot of history to go into. I did happen to notice in the gift shop there was a T-shirt that said Myrie Big Island, established 1947. So I have it on good authority. This park has been here for the better part of 80 years. But we're not going to do a deep dive into the history of the park today. What we're going to talk about, as per usual, is our personal experience here. And this park is kind of special to us because when we began our camping hiking adventure back in the early days of COVID, it sort of took us a while to get around to camping. But when we finally decided to do a camping trip together, Kelly and I booked a camper van. We reserved a few nights, and we reserved them here at Myrie Big Island. And that was a little over like 2 years and a month ago, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was April of 2021.
Yeah, so it's good to be back. The usual spiel that we always say, why did it take us so long to come back? It's because we have jobs, we have other obligations, we can't always be on a never-ending adventure. And that's probably okay. It's probably good that our, variety is the spice of life, etc. But it's so good to be back. And something I want to talk about is, the last few days, Kelly, we've been on this camping trip. We were at, we visited Carly. We swung by Whitewater very briefly, watched the birds around the bird feeder there with some fellow birders. We made our way over and camped at Beaver Creek Valley for a couple nights. We've done an episode on Beaver Creek Valley, but, it's obviously a new experience every time. Then we made our way a little bit westward along the southern edge of Minnesota, along the Iowa border, and we're currently on the outskirts of Albert Lea, which is pretty close to the Iowa border. It's a nice little town, and I think I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's always great when a state park is adjacent to a small town or a city, so you can get the, you know, the creature comforts of civilization. You know, go into town, do some laundry if you have to. Because here's the thing, we're camping in spring, which means we get a lot of spring showers. And so in a little bit here, we're going to talk about a misadventure we had. But I want to start off, I want to start off on a bit more of a positive note and just talk about how great it is to be somewhere in the spring. And I want to talk about something you and I were talking about recently, Kelly, which was, Kelly is currently pointing at, what is that? Is that a swan or is that a trumpet or a trumpeter swan, right?
Trumpeter swan.
Off in the distance, the trumpeter swan. Always great to see those guys. We'll get into the wildlife report in a moment. We're going to have the birding report. We're going to have a bathroom report. We're going to have, a spring ephemeral wildflower report. But I want to start off on a bit more of a just sort of general note. And I want to talk about how you and I, Kelly, have been talking about favorite parks, favorite trails, and how obviously, clearly, that's a very subjective thing to talk about or to consider. And it's always informed by the context in which, you know, one visits these parks. And I think when we visit state parks in the spring, it's almost impossible. Oh, that's definitely a trumpeter. Sorry for the digression. We're easily distracted. It's impossible to divorce our personal experiences from the context in which they happen. So, you know, if you visit a park in the, you know, the heat of the summer or in the pleasantly mild weather of the spring, it's almost impossible not to shoot to the top of your, you know, favorites list. You know, if you were to visit that same park in the winter, you probably wouldn't consider it a favorite for obvious reasons. But something I want to, you know, posit is that, you know, we're here at this beautiful state park. You know, we walked by a wonderful little pavilion on the way down to the edge of the lake where we're recording at this moment, and there's nobody there. And I think something that just boggles my mind is, you know, once the weather gets warm, why aren't there more people camping? Why aren't there more people camping in tents? Everyone that we've seen here has got a camper, and they're just kind of hunkering down. Not a lot of people on the trails. Nobody having a picnic at the pavilion. And something I want to put out there is just that, you know, you don't have to only appreciate Minnesota State Parks in July and August when it's really consistently warm. You know, the beaches are open, that sort of thing. I think we should all make an effort to appreciate the state parks year round. And I know it's, you know, camping in the winter is not really is not something most people are going to consider or pursue. But I just want to give a reminder to everyone that camping in the spring is a lot better than you might think it is. And we're gonna get into a counterpoint in a moment, which is a little mishap we had with the tent last night. But, you know, we all know spring showers are a thing in this part of the country. And, yes, you're going to have some rainy days out there. We're actually cutting our vacation a couple days short because there's going to be some thunderstorms the next few days. But I just want to reiterate one final time and then turn it over to you, Kelly, that, you know, camping in spring is better than I think a lot of people give it credit for. And despite the rain, you can make the most of some overcast days. Well, I don't know. What do you have to say about this?
When David and I first started camping, we camped mainly in the spring, and like David said, the first couple times we used a camper van, primarily because, well, we didn't have the equipment to go camping on our own, and also because I've camped enough in my life to know how much I hate being cold. So we really kind of geared up for this trip so that I wouldn't be cold. And, yeah, that really kind of changed things for me. David, actually, what I've been thinking a lot about is because we made the decision to call and to cancel the second half of this vacation last night after looking at the correct forecast. David had been looking at the forecast for New London, Connecticut, and let me tell you, it's supposed to be great weather out there.
Johnny Dollar is going to have a great, end of his week here. But yeah, I foolishly just Googled New London forecast and did not pay close enough attention because, Google brought me to New London, Connecticut, which I have never heard of, which I suppose New London, Minnesota is probably equally obscure. But anyway, there we are.
So I was really disappointed to be missing the last half of this vacation that I took to kind of hit the reboot button on my life. But I think that it is a good exercise in finding contentment where you are. And I could be really upset. I continue to be really upset. I was pretty pissed last night. But I'm sitting out here and I'm looking at bluebells blooming, and I'm with David, where every day is an adventure, big or small, reasonable or not. And it's just a good reminder to find happiness in the moment, because you can't keep living for the future. So that's my bad Zen meditation of the day. So what I do want to talk about is we've actually had, David, not one, but two misadventures so far on this. Do you want to talk hiking club, or do you want to talk the proper way to set up a tent?
Let's get the tent out of the way. So I messed up the tent. I didn't actually mess up the tent itself. What I messed up is the tarp that, you know, you put down under the tent. I didn't fold the tarp properly, and I didn't tuck it completely under the tent, which is such a rookie mistake. Now, we've camped enough to know better. But for whatever reason, I had enough distractions going on yesterday when we were setting the tent up here at Myrie Big Island. And I just, I shirked that responsibility. And then we proceeded to go into town because we looked at the forecast, the correct forecast, and said, oh, it's going to be rainy. We're going to get some thunderstorms for about 3 or 4 hours tonight. Let's go into town. We'll get a beer. We'll watch some of the Stanley Cup playoffs. See if Edmonton can defeat Las Vegas. Side note, they didn't. They're currently behind 2-1. Before we even get back, Kelly, it occurs to you while we're having, you're having soda water because you're going to be our designated driver. I'm nursing my second or third beer, and you say, oh, you know, I think we forgot to tuck the tarp properly. And I said, no, it's fine. I just completely neglecting to consider the physics of water accumulation, that sort of thing. Sure enough, we get back. It could have been a lot worse. Long story short, it could have been a lot worse, but it wasn't great. We had to take everything out of the tent. Fortunately, none of our stuff, like our mattresses, our sleeping bags, our duffel bags, none of that stuff got wet. But the floor of the tent was a little wet. And so what we had to do is take out all of our stuff. What did we do, Kelly? We basically moved the tent over, shook out all the water puddles that had accumulated on the tent, put it back down, started fresh, and we put like a layer of some kind of space blanket down that you had bought for another reason that we ended up using for this reason, and then moved everything back in. It could have been a lot worse, but because of Kelly's quick thinking, we were able to have a perfectly comfortable night's rest, and by this morning, everything was fine. It's overcast right now, but I don't think we're going to get much more rain. It's certainly not as much as we got last night. That's what the forecast says anyway. So that was the big misadventure for this trip, which, I just have to tip my hat to Kelly for getting us through it, because I was so frustrated when I got back. And then I kind of knew it was my fault, too, and I didn't want to admit to that at first. But this morning I got up and, I sort of muttered an apology to you, and all was forgiven. We went back into town. Yeah, did some laundry, had a little breakfast, picked up some stamps at the post office, mailed some of you fine people some postcards and greeting cards. Sent out a couple stickers to new listeners. Carl and Ricky are getting a Beaver Creek Valley sticker in the mail soon. Should have gotten it by the time this episode comes out. Anyway, that's the tent mishap. Hopefully the last time that ever happens. What's the other misadventure, Kel?
Well, I just want to say that I think that this was, it was a good learning experience for everybody involved, because I think, David, you thought that I was a little freakish in my vigilance about tucking the tent tarp.
I thought you were being a little fussy, but please, all you people out there, learn from my mistake. Don't cut corners when it comes to putting a tarp down. It seems like a little thing, but if a little water gets under there and puddles up, even a decent quality tent like we have will the water will seep through the bottom. They're not waterproofed. I guess because they wouldn't breathe if they were, right? Is that we were discussing this earlier. In any event, just do it right. It takes less than a minute, and it was just a foolish thing for me to take a shortcut on. So lesson learned. Hopefully all of you out there will learn from this long-winded anecdote about it and not make the same mistake that I did.
Okay, enough public flogging of my beloved fiancé. It's a mistake I think many of us make once in our lives and then never again. So the earlier misadventure that had happened was entirely my fault. Listeners, if you haven't been able to tell from pictures of me, I am pale, like a Victorian Caucasian lady dying of consumption. I am quite pasty and quite reactive to sun. So yesterday, David and I got to Myrie Big Island. We were a little bit early for setting up our tent, so we decided to park and do the hiking club trail here, which is 6.2 miles, and we're really going to get into this hiking club trail because we liked it a lot. But it was overcast, so I thought, oh, okay, it's overcast. It's kind of breezy here on the lake. I'm going to put on a light long-sleeve shirt with a hood, put on my hat. I'll be great. This will be really, you know, I'll be good. And then, lo and behold, about a half a mile into the trail, the sun came out full force. And I was without sunscreen and without shorter sleeves and kind of roasting and very worried because I knew a sunburn would really screw up this entire trip for me because I'm quite miserable when I get badly burned or even lightly burned. However, lo and behold, this hiking club trail, depending on the way you approached it, I'm not looking at a map right now. I'll put some notes in this episode about how we decided to do it. Anyway, we walked along the Blazing Star portion of the trail, which is a paved bike trail, and that crosses, lo and behold, right in front of the park office, which had previously been closed. And as we were walking up on it, a ranger walked out, raised the flag, walked back in, and flipped the closed sign to open.
Yeah, this is a good segue. We've been long-winded enough about our missteps, so thank you if you're still listening. From here on out, I think we should just talk about, at least for a few minutes, we should talk about just how amazing the hiking club trail here is and how grateful we were to have done it yesterday instead of today. It's a little bit more chilly and overcast today. But yesterday, you know, as Kelly mentioned, the sun came out not long after we set out on the trail, and we just happened to walk by the park office right as the ranger was opening up, and we thought, okay, there's maybe like a 50-50 chance that they'll sell like sunscreen in here. It's not a normal thing that you would find in a state park gift shop, but they did. They sold little travel sizes, so we both slathered on some sunblock, bought a new t-shirt, real snazzy t-shirt Kelly's wearing right at the moment, and you know, the normal thing, you know, bundle of firewood, some postcards, some stickers, the aforementioned stickers are currently in the trusty hands of the U.S. Postal Service, so those are making their way out to some of our listeners. And I just want to talk about how the state park, the hiking club trail here is a really good mix. As Kelly pointed out, part of it is a paved bike trail. So you know, just if you're hiking, just keep to the right. If a bicyclist comes up, they'll, you know, the usual etiquette, just say, you know, bicyclist or rider on your left or whatever they always say. And then it sort of feeds into this really nice prairie trail where we saw, man, I've got my, I think Kelly, you have our birding list. Suffice it to say, the hiking club trail here is quite long, but if you're properly nourished and you have sunscreen, if it's a sunny day, et cetera, you will have a great time. A small portion of it is that paved bike trail. The rest of it is normal sort of normal trail that'll take you through woodland. Some of it will go along prairie. A couple times you will pass large ponds, small lakes. I'm not sure what the distinction is. So if you're a bird watcher like I am, and it's spring, you will see just a great variety of birds. And in a moment, Kelly, I'll let you share your thoughts on the on the hiking club trail in general. But I just want to give a quick rundown of the birds we saw. The birding report for this episode will be pretty fun for me, and if you're a birder, hopefully it will be for you too. I've crossed several lifer birds off my list, as I've been posting about in the Adventure Within Reason Facebook page. A palm warbler. We saw, I think we mentioned, oh yeah, that's something. Previously, on our last episode on Carly State Park, we saw some kind of sandpiper. Sorry, we're both distracted by what might very well be...
It's a duck.
Oh, okay, wood duck. Yeah, previously mentioned the sandpiper that we saw at Carly that we couldn't identify. I subsequently was looking through my Minnesota Ornithological Union birding checklist, and I just happened to see a species that exactly described the sandpiper I saw, which you know, I kept talking to other birders on social media and saying, yeah, it had white tail feathers. That was what I remember about it. And sure enough, there was a species of sandpiper called a white-rumped sandpiper. Looked up the Wikipedia article for it. dead ringer. And I was so glad that I finally got that positive ID, because sometimes I will see a bird and it'll be days or weeks before I'll just happen to see someone else, you know, on a birding page online post a photo of what I saw. And it's not until then that I know that I'm able to put a species name to the creature that I saw. And in this instance, it only took about a day. So positive ID for a white-rumped sandpiper, palm warbler we saw here at Myra Big Island. What else we got here, babe? I'm going to go, these probably aren't in the order that we saw them.
They are in the order we saw them.
Oh, I might have just messed those up.
Well, more or less.
Lots of yellow-rumped warblers. Those guys are still passing through. I saw an eastern bluebird right after we got on the trail. You were distracted by an interpretive sign that you were reading. Great American pelicans, I think they're called, or American white pelicans. We've been seeing a lot of those on the lake around the Big Island here. Just this morning, I saw a lifer, a western kingbird. We see eastern kingbirds a lot here in Minnesota, but I saw my first western kingbird, which, if you're a birder, is kind of similar to a great crested flycatcher. Wood ducks, bald eagle nest. That was really cool. As you drive down the service road that leads into the Big Island here at Myra Big Island State Park, you'll often see cars stopped on the road, because off to one side, there is a bald eagle's nest that's been here for years. I remember we stopped and looked at it last time we were here 2 years ago, Cal. Yeah, incidentally, bald eagles reuse their nests for years and years, and they just keep getting bigger. If you follow the Minnesota DNR bald eagle cam, you can see some pretty amazing...
The eagle cam is actually offline as of this spring, 2023, because the nest fell, and they lost a little eaglet that was living in it.
Oh, that's right. I guess I did. If I'm being honest, I didn't realize they only had the one. I thought they had a couple set up around the state. Okay, so I'm sure at some point the DNR is going to set up another bald eagle cam.
They're looking for a new site.
Yeah, they're looking for a new site, Kelly says. Maybe they'll choose Myra Big Island, because, yeah, there's a pretty well-established bald eagle nest here. What else have we seen? Brown thrashers. I'm not going to go super in-depth into a lot of these species, but with some of these, I can't help but mention one or two little bits of trivia. Brown thrashers are really unique birds. They say that they have the widest song repertoire of just about any bird in North America. And what that means is that they have more, you know, melodies than just about any other bird, which is kind of funny, because they don't really look like, you know, you see a warbler, or you see like an oriole, and you sort of instinctively think, okay, that's a bird that has a lot of songs. When you see a brown thrasher, they kind of just look like an ugly robin. But those birds, they have a lot of pretty songs they sing. What else have we seen? The yellow warblers, the first yellow warblers we've seen this year. I saw a black and white warbler at some point. Lots of coots out on the lake. Lots of barn swallows and tree swallows. I don't know how to move down this list, babe. Oh, yeah. We didn't see this bird here at Myra Big Island, but I think we neglected to mention on our previous episode on Carly that we saw a magnolia warbler there. Carolina wrens, house wrens, trumpeter swans, song sparrows, probably one or two that we forgot to put on the list. I'm rambling at this point about birds, but that's what I do, eh? Suffice it to say, spring is just a wonderful time for bird watching. We've got a lot of birds that pass through that don't actually stay in nest, so you might only have like a 3 week window to see some of these warblers that pass through and make their way up to, you know, Ontario or like far north Minnesota where they might actually nest. Anyway, what do you have to say about the hiking club trail, Kel? Because I've been rambling about birds long enough, I think.
Yeah, this is a great trail. Easy to moderate difficulty. The only reason I think I would give it a moderate rating is because it is, you know, 6.2 miles is a pretty good trek.
Do we want to talk about how it's kind of segmented? Like there's a smaller portion of the hiking club trail is here on the Big Island. Most of it is in the rest of the park.
Yeah, well, you covered that pretty well just there.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think about other things that I liked about this trail. Yeah, I liked the movement from ecosystems. You know, along the water here on the Big Island over into the prairie and then through some big bur oak stands that I think will be quite pretty. I mean, they're pretty now, but will be really quite lovely later in the year.
You know what's kind of cool, Kelly? We haven't mentioned this yet, But we recently, as hiking club members, we recently got to the 100-mile milestone. Now, we've hiked a lot more than that over the last few years of hiking in Minnesota State Parks. But since joining the hiking club, you know, when you're on the designated hiking club that most of the state parks have, you accumulate miles, and there's somewhere along the trail, there's like a little password that's up on a sign, and you write that down in your journal. And then as you get to certain benchmarks, you win prizes. Like for every so many miles, you'll get like a free night of camping, that sort of thing. Almost right as we finished the state park, I'm sorry, I keep saying state park, I mean to say hiking club trail. Almost right as we finished the hiking club trail here at Myrie Big Island yesterday, what wildlife creature did we see on the trail?
Oh, that's right. We saw a fox run across the trail, a red fox, which I am very partial to. I think they're just amazing little critters. We also ran into a garter snake. For those of you who don't know, I have a garter snake tattoo on my left forearm because of an affinity for garter snakes for reasons that I won't get into right now. But it was very cool. It was between the birds and the other wildlife. It really felt like, you know, a good milestone hike, I think, for both of us, which was really nice. I really, really, I don't know, liked it, appreciated it. It's been a really lovely trip here. So
I like to have fun. I like to have fun and anthropomorphize animals a lot. So I sort of, you know, with the benefit of about a day of hindsight, I like to think we had a garter snake and a red fox. They were like our little booster club as we were crossing the 100-mile finish line. And I don't know, I like that thought.
Yeah. So I want to segue into the campgrounds here, which are really just fantastic. We are staying at campground number 33 on the Big Island, which I can definitely recommend. It is a very short walk to the bathrooms and showers, something we certainly appreciated yesterday with another brief misadventure. I had checked to make sure that the water was on here and that the showers were on, and we got over to the showers, and the first couple doors that we tried were all marked vacant but locked, and I think we'd gotten quite sweaty out on the hike because it was a long one, and like we said, the sun was out and it was humid and hot, so we were a little bit nervous, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point for me to sort of answer the question that I posed earlier in this episode, which is, you know, why don't more people hike in the spring? It's still nice. And I think a prosaic answer, and a pretty fair one, is that a lot of people want to wait until the bathroom and shower amenities are open. A lot of the parks open at different times, the showers, that is. And I think here at Myrie Big Island, I want to say this is the first week that they've opened the showers, right? If you go to some of the parks up north, they might not open until next week or the week after because they just have a day that they open every year, and it's not, the weather has nothing to do with it.
No,
it's,
it does. The weather does have something.
Oh, the weather does?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Quality control here at work. So I guess the Rangers take the weather forecast into account each spring and use that to determine when they open. But I can understand if you've got a family or if you just are not someone who likes to rough it and, you know, take a baby wipe shower in your tent every morning like we've been known to do when we're at a rustic site. I understand that. No judgment if that is maybe what's holding you back from camping in the spring. I get that there are certain comfort thresholds that most of us don't like to fall beneath, myself included. But I'm very grateful that the something I wanted to talk about, this will maybe be an occasional adventure within reason report, which is what I'm sort of just calling the bathroom shower report. And I just wanted to say that the showers on the campsite here on the Big Island are, I would say, maybe there are some other better ones out there that I just haven't experienced yet, but I would say rivaled only by the showers that we got to use at McCarthy Beach on our camping trip last summer. Yeah. In terms of just modern toilets, modern shower facilities, clean. You know, sometimes you get a shower
accessible.
Yes, I should have mentioned that. Sometimes you get a shower facility that is clearly very, very old. It's like, it's to the point where it's almost impossible to keep clean. And, you know, this is not a judgment on the Minnesota Parks, State Park system. This is, I think, pretty easily be answered just by bigger budgets. They could modernize a lot of these shower and bathroom facilities with more money, but that requires, legislation to happen at the state level. And something we've talked about occasionally is that a lot of the state parks are just understaffed right now. So yeah, this is not a fundamental critique of the Minnesota DNR so much as it is just a plea for more money for state parks, because I would like every state park that has a campsite to have a clean, modern, accessible, glorious bathroom and shower. So that's the bathroom shower report for this one.
Yeah, so I want to go back to the campsites for a second, and our campsite is nice. It'll be well shaded once the summer rolls in, which is nice. It is on, I think this is not an island so much as a peninsula, so it's between two lakes or one lake that's just going around it, and there's a great cool cross breeze coming through, which is maybe not so great when it's getting chilly at night, but it's nice during the day, and I think would be nice during the summer. The spaces for tents here are kind of raised beds. And the dirt is, like, unbelievably soft, which sounds like a weird thing to say, but it's nicer to sleep on, you know, of course.
Yeah, I think we did we forget to mention that at the beginning? Like, yeah, the tents, it's like elevated. Yeah, like a raised bed. That's a good analogy. Maybe like 4 or 5 inches. So it's like you have like a small little stage to put your tent on. Yeah.
We're also camping right in the midst of a bunch of hepatica and wood lilies. So, of course, I'm over the moon. Wildflower report, same old spring ephemerals. I'm happy to see them, but I don't know if you guys need to hear me list them every time. David, I think that might be it for me with this park. I will say, you know, we came here once 2 years ago and haven't been back, and I'm not sure why. It made a good impression on us the first time we were here, but I think we were so focused on getting our Passport Club stamps that we just didn't make it back. And now I think I want to make this, we make Beaver Creek Valley an annual camping trip for us in the spring. And I think that I want to add Myrie Big Island as an extension and addition to that trip.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think the parks that we all choose to prioritize, a lot of it is sort of random and arbitrary. But I think for us, Kelly, our spring tradition is absolutely going to be one or two nights at Beaver Creek Valley and one or two nights here at Myrie Big Island. I think that's a great pairing for all the reasons that hopefully we've articulated the last half hour or so. The bird watching, the spring wildflowers, just the overall quality of the trails, the overall variety that you get if you're on the hiking club trail. And I honestly, yeah, maybe we'll come back here later this year, because it's, as always, you know, you like the idea of experiencing a park at different times of the year. And I would love to come back sometime and explore some of the ancillary trails that sort of do or don't connect to the hiking club trail, and just explore the park a little bit more, as always.
Yeah. Well, for now, adventurers, today I'm wishing I had my long sleeves with me, because it is overcast and a little chilly out here on this point. So I think we're going to wrap up. Anything else, David?
No, thanks for listening, and see you next time, everybody.
Have a great week, adventurers.